outside the box of religious obligation lies a road less travelled, into the heart of Bravada's affection. Slinging freedom all over the place, this is the God Journey. The God Journey. The God Journey.
Well, it's 2021, and the God Journey is back. I'm never sure we come back after a hiatus, but here we are again, and Kyle Rice has joined me from Torrington, Wyoming. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, Wayne. Thank you, and welcome to 2021.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you. Thank you. You guys had a bit of you already did COVID earlier in the year, and then you started with strep throat through the holidays.
We're going to have to explore some more with my wife, unfortunately, because she had strep throat 7 times in the last year. And so there's something else going on there. And so we're going to have to go to a specialist, unfortunately.
Well, I know they want to get her tonsils out, she said. So
yes, they do.
And they wanted mine for years. Every year up until I was like 40, 41, I would get this sore throat every year. I couldn't swallow like for a week. And they were like, I never went to the doctor, but when I'd mention it to him, no, I don't go to doctors until I'm on deathbed stuff or need a heart valve. But I do get a yearly checkup, and that's when I'll bring those things up. By the way, a couple months ago, should I be concerned about this? And that's when I get their input. But there I say, yeah, you never had your tonsils out. And I said, nope, never have. And they go, hey, maybe we should get those sometime. I said, okay, I'll let you know. And then it just stopped. 20 years ago, it just stopped. And I don't have the sore throat thing anymore. I don't have the problem. I don't know if God got my tonsils or if they just don't do whatever they did before. I have no idea. They might have matured right out of it. But anyway, it keeps me happy and safe. So, yeah, I'm glad for that. So what's the new year hold for you, Kyle? What are you got any thoughts about a new season opening up?
Yeah, it's so... I'm into a new semester with my students, and so we're in round 2 with that. This has very much been the probably one of the most interesting and dynamic experiments that I've been involved with. I'm in the process of developing a completely new day treatment program with a company and in collaboration with 21 different school districts. And so it's, man, talk about constantly living on the fly.
And this is for severely at-risk kids, right? I mean, we're going to try to do a little program here for some high school students. This are some kids that are right on the edge of no longer being able to come to school if something doesn't happen.
Yes, these are the students that are right on the edge of going either residential care or JDC or the big house.
Or the big house up the river
if the behavior
doesn't change. I get it. So
they're on a knife edge.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited about the new year. I'm not a new year guy like, hey, the calendar. So God's going to change everything because it's January 1st, 2021. But this year it happens to coincide with someday we'll talk about on the podcast. I mean, because I've got a ton of new stuff God's giving birth to in my heart. And I'm kind of at that age where I thought I'd be slowing down a bit, but someone had a dream about me. And the first 5 words they gave me from the dream was, you're not done. And I'm going, I am. And they were feeling like God was saying, hey, don't be done. And I mean, I'm not done in the sense that I'm going to retire and leave God on the lurch, but I mean, it's still just the same as every other day. I wake up and God, what's in front of me and what doors are you opening? There's a lot of stuff going there. We'll talk about at some point. I guess the big news coming up this year is finally, my book is going to get out. That Live, Loved, Free, Full. I'm supposed to have them here on Friday, which is the day this podcast airs. I don't know when you guys are supposed to get in there in Torrington. That's where everybody else's books will come from. I'm getting copies here for family and friends and things. But, man, I'm really excited finally. I know my life seems to do this. I leave people in torment. You know, I say, hey, we get this book. It's going to be out December 22nd, and then it's not. And so people have been like, where's my book? And so I put the devotionals up on the blog over at Livestream every day. So people have got that kind of, if they're really nuts about the dates. The book wasn't written, so January 1 follows into 2 and 3. And if you don't get it till February, you've got to go back and start January 1. It's not written that way. You can pick up in February and get around to January next year. And but I'm really excited about it. I'm excited. Some of my friends have been reading earlier versions to kind of do some help with us with getting it some at least notifications that it's out there for people. So I'm excited to get the feedback I've been getting. It's been really amazing. And some of the things on Amazon, some of the reviews people have put on Amazon about the book, because the Kindle version has been available for a couple of weeks, has been really touching. So that's fun to see.
So unpack a little bit. How did So in your winding down and in your preparation to retirement, how did you do?
No, don't. How did you? I'm going to get all this email. God doesn't allow retirement. And I hear it every time I even mention it. All I'm thinking is my friends are all ending their jobs. They're playing golf, riding bikes. They're going camping. They're running around in RVs. And I'm still in my study every day. Not every day, but a few days a week. And so it's just kind of like, yeah, someday it sounds kind of fun, maybe. So I'm never retiring from the kingdom. That's just not possible. But this is actually, Sarah and I came around to resigning our salary from LifeStream. So this year, everything really? I'm doing for free. Yeah, we just have come to the point where we had some retirement stuff out there account-wise. And if we didn't start taking it, it wasn't going to appreciate anymore anyway. So we just didn't need the salary anymore. So we just said, hey, we're going to be done with that. And keep doing what God gives us to do and let him provide for it. But yeah, so
that's kind of crazy. So I was going to ask you, like, unpack a little bit about how this even came about, because I mean, obviously you didn't aspire. Well, at least in our conversations, this wasn't on your radar a year ago.
No, I wouldn't have even thought about it. One, I'm not a great devotional guy. There's been two devotionals I've read in my life. One is My Utmost for His Highest, which in my younger days, it nurtured my soul every year. But then as I got older and my trajectory changed, I realized that part of my soul it was nurturing. There's a lot of good stuff in My Utmost for His Highest. And I'm going to get all kinds of emails from people who love Oswald Chambers. Is that who it was?
Yeah, Oswald Chambers.
It's been so long. Yeah. Every time I say it, I think of Oswald Sanders, which is another guy I quote occasionally. But Oswald Chambers, and I also realized it was nurturing the religious side of my soul as well. There's lots of great stuff in there that nourish the spiritual side of my life. But I also know, and I read it now, I read things and I go, ooh, that's kind of an old me that I really don't want to go back to. And the other one was Brendan Manning's got one like Gospel for Ragamuffins. It's not his ragamuffin book, but it's kind of a devotional. Sarah and I have read that for a few years. But most of the other ones people kind of hand us or tell us, you kind of look at them and there's a whole lot of, okay, let's get up and die to ourselves today and let's read the Bible and pray and get back to church on Sunday morning. And it's all, you know, the spiritual treadmill. And the last thing I want to get on in the morning is another religious performance treadmill. It's just, I don't want anything encouraging that. I was sharing with someone last week about cutting out the influences in our life that draw us into negative space. And when Stefan and I talked a few weeks ago, and by the way, for those of you who say, I thought you guys were going to talk about that podcast some more. And I'll tell you, we are. We're going to get to that.
We're coming back to that one.
Maybe not today, but we're going to talk about that more because the book's coming out. I'm going to get them on Friday. We do want it to be available. So we're going to talk about it a little bit. But one of the best things I did in my life, and I know this is crazy because I used to be a writer for Charisma magazine and I knew everybody at Charisma. It was the charismatic journal. I wrote for Christianity Today, Inc. And I also wrote for some stuff over at Charisma. But I struggled with where Charisma was going. And I even wrote a long letter to the publisher just saying, here's my concern. And I didn't get any positive feedback other than I'm the owner and I'll decide the best way to go. Okay, well, I'm done trying to help. But I noticed when I get done reading an issue, and I read it every month, even when I no longer was nurturing a lot from it, I read it to stay informed as to what was going on, trends in the charismatic renewal. But I did get to the point where I felt dirty after I finished reading it. I felt like where it tapped my soul in the conversations back to what Stefan and I were talked about, it was tagging that part of my soul that sought the limelight. Because it wasn't just the articles, but the ads. And it's very much a celebrity, Christian celebrity, but it's a celebrity-based magazine. And it was feeding all that stuff in Wayne that wanted to be there, wanted to be on that cover, wanted to be an art, wanted to. And I really felt like one day the Holy Spirit just kind of, I finished an issue and I was sitting there and he said, why are you reading this? I was like, I'm trying to stay informed, but yeah, it's drawing your soul into space that makes it harder to hear me. And so I canceled my subscription that day. That's like 20 something years ago. It's a long time. Yeah. I occasionally read one when I'm at dad's house because my dad subscribes to it. So I'll look at one now and then. I go, oh my gosh, I'm still glad I still don't read this thing. So I look for what is it that draws my soul into more nurturing space? And I said, Brendan Manning one does that a bit, but this was somebody, In the aftermath of the shack and Sarah working full time, I had a college intern work for me over summer. We paid her to come in. One of the things I did, because I've noticed some of my best synthesized stuff is not in books. It was in the blog postings I was doing and some of the articles I was writing, because that's where the journey was being learned and lived. And by the time it gets into a book, there's more of a whole thematic thing you're developing. And yet a blog lasts about 3 days. You do a blog, people read it, touch by it, and then it's gone. And so when the college intern who was, she worked so hard, it was crazy. I'd give her stuff I thought would take her all week, and she'd be on Monday afternoon and come and say, is there anything else for me? What? I'm going to spend half my life just creating work for you. So I said, why don't you go through the website and find the things then there that we can maybe make a devotional out of. It was a thought. This is like 10, 11 years ago.
Okay.
And so she did. She put all that together, put it in a thing. And I looked at it, but I'd never spent time with it. I was so busy. The shack was dominating our life, and then the lawsuit and blah, 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 blah. And it just went on. And then last year, I just kind of returned to it. I was looking at those files, because she did a number of books. She did one on the church, but that was just off blog stuff from the Relational Church. Most of that's in Finding Church now. So I'm not probably gonna do much with that. But there's other things in there about living loved and stuff. And then I found this devotional. I went, oh, that's right. I'd forgotten we'd done this. And I just started to read through it. And I thought, you know what? There may be something here. So I sent it off to Blue Sheet Media, you guys, you and your wife, and said, mm-hmm. What do you guys think? And I was shocked. Jess came back and said, man, this is really good. You did too. Saying, I think we need to do this. And I went, oh, what? I need to go back and look at this. So I started reading through it thinking, wow, there really is. And this is a good way, because all that material is so far down the website, no one will ever find it again. Yeah. And this was a way to not only repurpose it, but also reframe it, because some of it was written 15, 20 years ago. And the arc of my life would give me a different way to express that. So I had a chance to go through every one of them and say those things the way I would say them today. And my thought all along was, I want a Matthew 6. This. Matthew 6, if you've heard me much, people know I come to Matthew 6 and that, you know, wake up every, it starts with, you know, how many by worrying can add an inch to your height? You can't do that little stuff while you try the big stuff. And then what I'm trying to get you to is relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting that you can't respond to God's giving. That phrase, among a few others in scripture, always draw me into the space that I sense God better. I feel more connected to him. And Matthew 6 is definitely that in my heart. And when I get out of that give me mode and get into, God, what are you doing today? And how do I sense that? And where are you leading me? And what's going on in this relationship or that issue or that problem? And so the idea when I worked through all this material again was to create the space for people, and I hope it does. The feedback I'm getting saying maybe it does, which is kind of rewarding, but it was if people had this kind of relational thought during the day, that it would draw them out of performance and out of anxiety and out of trying to earn it and leave them in space that was more, okay, God, you're big enough for today, and what are you doing, and how do I lean into you? And working on it, I'm telling you, I came out of working on it and I just thought, I'll go through this, you know, clean it up a little bit. And then I got so engaged. That's why we are really cutting the timeline here at the end of the year to try and get it out, because I got involved and this is fun to play with this material again and to say it in a different way. So
you mentioned just now, you know, one of the main themes or one of your desires as far as you want people to, when they read these excerpts, to walk away feeling like they just took in a breath of fresh air versus, you know, stagnant air or oppressive air.
That's what other people are saying. I haven't said that about it, but other people are. It just feels like a breath. Yeah. Or a cup of cold water. Yeah.
Well, I would affirm, having read, I haven't read the whole thing, but having read quite a bit, I would affirm that it does that. As you were working through the material, what were some of the things that, did you find anything that was consistently different? Like you talked about the arc of your life and how, you know, you've learned so much over the last 15, 20 years of the arc of your life. And so as you've been reworking through it, was there any consistent things that you just found yourself changing or leaning into or that stuck out to you?
I don't know what that would be. It's a good question. There was so much of different things, and it was more about wording it differently, wording it more generously, wording it in a way that brings people along to it rather than kind of an expert talking down, which I think probably the biggest thing in my life in the last 20 years. Well, I always say that about probably five or six major things, but one of them is not wanting to be the expert role, wanting to be alongside people and inviting them rather than berating them into a different way of thinking or living. And so a lot of, it wasn't like a major theme that I altered, but it was the language of coming alongside and encouraging people as a brother, not writing this is the expert on God's love, because I don't feel like an expert. And I love not being an expert. I love being a brother on a journey, which is how I love positioning myself. When someone really reacted to the podcast we did with Stefan and said I had failed because he thought everything Stefan shared was horrible. It was a false teaching. And I don't know how other-centered living is false teaching. I found it really, but one of the things he said is you're a sheepdog and you got to keep the, and I'm going, I don't feel like a sheepdog. I wouldn't let someone else define my identity as a brother in Christ. There's functions and gifts I have in the body, and I think they're apparent, but whatever they are, I do them better as a brother than I do as a perceived expert. And I think one of the things Christianity has done with all those terms in the New Testament that kind of lean toward leadership was to take them into expert level and use them to dominate people. And they were always meant to just be a brother who has a gift or a function, and he comes alongside others or a sister and he helps them grow. And he just helps them discover what God's already revealing in their heart, which is very different. And that's one thing that changed from in pastoral ministry. It was always my need to convince people of what they needed to do for their own good. Mm. And since I no longer have a group of people whose spirituality I have to manage, it's no longer I'm looking for complacent people that need to be pushed. I'm looking for that hungry heart always. When I traveled, although, and I'm not doing it now, but when I traveled, and if I travel again, when I'm among people, I'm always looking for the hungry heart. Where's that hunger that's not being serviced? Because there's not a lot out there that goes to the hungry heart. And I think that was one of the great flaws of pastoring back in my day, was that nobody came into my office just say, Wayne, I'm hungry. Could you help me grow? It was always a problem that needed to be fixed. And so you're always troubleshooting issues. Yeah. And we didn't give enough, I didn't give enough to my own or others, helping them lean into that space with Jesus where he nurtures you and you become increasingly connected to him instead of needing an expert in your life to tell you what to do.
See, and the interesting part is that that would be my definition of a sheepdog. Like I laugh, and I can't even, like, the viewers can't see this, the listeners can't see this, but
what do you got?
This is what I built with a client.
It says sheepdog right on it.
It says sheepdog right on it. So for our listeners, it's a longboard.
And it's got a Darth Vader mask on it. What's that Darth Vader mask?
It's got a Spartan warrior mask on it. Spartan warrior helmet on it.
Which is what? What are the Spartan warriors? Oh, that's a Greek thing.
Yes.
It's not a science fiction thing. It's a Greek.
No, it's a Greek thing. It's a history thing.
Okay.
But whenever I think of a sheepdog, it's somebody who is on journey with other people and that is helping create and facilitate opportunity for people to engage with a deeper conversation of life.
See, I think of a sheepdog as one of those border collies nipping at the heels of the sheep that won't do what they're told. And so they're always herding, pushing. I don't see them as, hey, we're just hanging out, having a day, and I'm going to help you guys stay away from the bad people and the wolves and all that. So I don't see it that way. So that's why the sheepdog thing, I went, one, it's not in scripture, so I don't have to be a sheepdog. Yeah. And number two, I'd rather just be a sheep who's helping other sheep. maybe a wiser sheep, maybe a sheep that's been down this trail before, at least for some people. I'm not wiser than everybody. I've got sheep that I lean on that are further than me. And I love interacting with them about stuff going on in my life because it opens doors to things I wouldn't think about if they weren't there.
Yeah.
But yeah, but you like the sheepdog analogy. That's interesting. You even got a board in your office. Is that where you can beat on people when you need to?
I cannot confirm or deny that because corporal punishment supposedly has gone out of the public school system. So
even in Nebraska?
Yeah, that's right. Even in the small towns.
Wow, that's amazing.
But no, it's hilarious because and we're kind of getting off topic, but my dad raised border collies. And so I grew up training border collies, which are very aggressive, very hard-headed, extremely smart.
But you didn't have sheep. You had cows, right?
Well, we had both, actually.
Oh, you had sheep.
We primarily had cattle, but we also raised sheep for
4-H.
Okay. And so, but we couldn't have our cattle dogs train our sheep because if they got one drop of, if they bit a sheep and broke the skin, they would just start killing sheep, like headhunting sheep. Like
it wasn't. That sheep blood tastes pretty good.
There was no hurry. It was there's a portable lamb chop that's standing there, and I'm going to go find it.
I'm afraid that's more prophetic than you'd want it to be. I sometimes think those who position themselves as sheepdog, they get a taste of blood, and they start eating sheep too. Now, that was definitely a problem in Ezekiel 34 as the shepherds get called out for devouring the flock. And I've seen a lot of it in my day. I know there's a lot of really genuine people who lead in the body of Christ. You do it graciously and generously, but I also know, particularly some of those pastors end up in charisma, man. They do a lot of eating sheep and just using them for their own gain, their money, their resources, whatever, their vision, and get the sheep to fulfill their vision. It's interesting. I think it was a full on negative term, and you think of it as a positive term. That's hilarious.
Well, and I would have too until I actually met a shepherd who had two dogs that were a very different breed. They were Great Pyrenees, and they lived in community with the sheep. They did no herding of the sheep. They lived in community for them, and then if there was a threat to the sheep that was coming in to attack the herd, then they would actually protect the herd. But they lived in community with the sheep. They slept with the sheep. Like, that was their... They did life with the sheep, but if a threat came to take out a sheep, then they would go and help prevent that from happening.
But they're still not a sheep. There's something different than a sheep.
That's true. They are set apart. That's right. And that's I got you. I understand that.
That makes me quiver just a little bit, a little something in my throat I got to swallow.
I can understand how it might trigger a yuck factor. Absolutely.
The old yuck meter goes off.
Oh, man. So Wayne, as a younger guy, and I'm a writer, and to largely personally to myself, I love journaling, and that's one of the things that I enjoy doing sometimes is actually going back and looking at just the chronicle that I have with my relationship with God and where I was at, being able to go back and look 10 years ago at the conversations I was having with God versus the conversations that I'm having with him now. And that's really intriguing to me. That was actually my gift to my wife, was full access to my journals, that my wife would be able to have anytime she wanted to, she could go in and look at those and actually see a chronicle of the process of how I got to be who she ended up marrying.
You should run them before, not after.
That's probably legit, but I probably would never get married. And so that's
that's another consideration. Yeah, you think about that too. Let the facts come out slowly after we're committed.
As soon as the ring was on it and the IDs and the vows, then she gets access. But before that, she just gets the shiny outside.
Well, it's amazing what Sarah and I learned about each other after the fact, but we're still learning about each other.
Well, and I think that's one of the beauties of vows.
I hear you.
But so I was really intrigued as I was reading through the devotional and watching how it kind of ebbs and flows. And there's some articles that are like a conversational piece. And then there's some that like some excerpts that are almost like a journal entry. Like they feel more personal and they feel more intimate. As you were working through those, what was your thoughts with that? It's just really intriguing to me because I've never encountered anything like it, because it kind of moves from, maybe a blog post here, but then it's almost like that there's some prayers in there that are very personal, that are very intimate, that it's like, oh, wow. Like I, I'm very grateful that you were willing to share those, but it was almost like you cracked your journal open to me a little bit and gave me a snapshot.
Well, I didn't mean to do that. We need to find those and cut them out before we send books out.
Okay, sounds good. We can cut that out.
That's suddenly fine. June 15th is what happened to June 15th?
Yeah.
No, I can honestly say I didn't have any of that in my heart. I mean, I each one was just what it was that Jessica Glasner had already set up for me. And there was some we didn't use. There were some that were irredeemable. I'm just going, yeah, there's no way to fix this. So out it goes because my life had changed. But there were others that were newer that I wanted to include. So there's a lot from more recent things that Jessica didn't see because I hadn't been written yet. She worked me back in 2010, I think, or 9. So this was after the fact. But so I include some of that. But each one was just, I want to say this thought. I'm trying to put a thought out there that's going to help people. And if it was, some of them are interactions from emails that I received. Some of them are, and I didn't ever go draw out of my journal, but my journal is always the stuff that's foremost in my heart. So that stuff just comes out rewritten. But I said, there was no conscious attempt. If I could go back, thinking about it now, which is kind of late since it's already been printed, somebody sent me a typo they found with the early readers. And I'm going, really, don't send me that stuff now. My gosh, we've been through it with 500 different proofers. And, well, I've never read a book that's perfect, but I know there are people that really have this thought that, boy, if you get it edited right, that a book will not have a flaw in it. And I'm like, hey, the book's like my life. It will have flaws in it. Hopefully we had enough eyes on it that they're minimal. So far, I've only known of one, so that's not bad. That's and it's just a repeated word in the wrong place, so it's not the end of the world. If I had it to do over again, though, I would want them all to be intimate. I don't mind. I decided a long time ago. I got made fun of, accused of things that weren't true of my life. So I don't mind anymore people seeing what's really true about my life. I don't mind being an open book. When I'm talking to people, I mean, I don't think everything deserves to be in the public airways. But if I'm in a conversation with people and they want to delve into my life and there's nothing I wouldn't reserve other than things that would be private with Sarah and I. Mm-hmm. But no, I just think the only way we learn is to really get a glimpse, warts and all, of what it's like to see someone journey in Christ passionately and seeking to avoid getting caught up in the whole religious performance trap. And I don't know how to do that other than let people have a full-on look at my life. And some people have a full-on look at my life and don't like what they see. And that's fine. I'm not really trying to impress them. Other people have found, I hear the feedback enough to know that when I'm most honest is when I'm most helpful, when I'm most transparent, most vulnerable. So I wouldn't have avoided that. I would have done more of it if I'd had that conscious thought. I just didn't have it.
What was it like working on this project and looking back at the breadth of content that you had available at your fingers? That was another piece about this that was really interesting to me, is that looking at it from the perspective of a 35-year-old and saying, like, I wouldn't even come close to having the content of a lifetime of intimacy with Christ. And like over the years that I've walked with God, I wouldn't even have come close to a 365-day devotional.
Oh, you probably could. I don't know that it was that tough. Again, Jessica did the hard work of going back and ferreting out from all those things that I had written, articles and website blogs, what's good here and how could we break these into thoughts? She really did the labor on that. And I just got a chance to come through and interact with that and then take out or add or change or whatever. But I already worked from that. I just think when you've been blogging and writing's the main way I communicate with me. So it's not... I'm writing an article or a blog, it's usually me processing something out in my heart. My journal is probably in my blogs more than in my actual journal, because I'll jot a thought down there and I'm going, okay, I want to type this out, so then I'll go type it somewhere.
Yeah.
So I just think it's been 25 years on this journey. I have been constantly reminded by people that people watching my journey has really encouraged the better parts of theirs. It's encouraged them to listen to things, to recognize what the Holy Spirit has been putting in their heart even before they read me. But
yeah,
that put a finger on it. I remember one guy in tears called me after he read the Jake book. I saw you don't want to go to church anymore. He was a pastor, retired, and he was reading that book, and he called me, and at first 2 minutes of the podcast, he was just in tears. I mean, the conversation. He just couldn't get a word out. He was choked up. He said, I'll call you back. I said, no, I'm fine. I'll wait. He finally collected himself and he said, you know what? I feel like such a failure. And I said, why are you saying that? He said, because everything you put in John's mouth, for those of you who haven't read the book, it's a conversations with a guy who may be the Apostle John. What if he is living in the 21st century? And he said, I've heard all of those things from the Holy Spirit, and I ignored them all because they didn't fit into my life. Mm. And that to me is the sad part. I have gratefully had people in my life who encouraged me at the times when I would have probably leaned away from what the Holy Spirit was showing me because I couldn't figure out the practice of it, how it would work. And yet my conversation with them encouraged me to lean into that space where I could say, okay, that is the Holy Spirit. Strange as that may be, and as much as that will not serve my self-interest, which is a lousy way to decide what's the Holy Spirit and not anyway is what serves my self-interest. But somehow when you're young, you don't think about that. You're thinking my self-interest and the Holy Spirit's work in my life. They got to be the same thing. He's obviously helping me live a better life. And then you find out, no, most of the stuff that he's invited me to, as I've said often, are not the things I would naturally embrace. My first reaction, even like, you know, you're not done yet. My first reaction is, but I want to be done. I mean,
oh, yes, I am. Don't you dare call me out of retirement.
And this was a young girl that I've known since she was four, and she had a dream, and she typed it out. This is, you are not done. That's the first of this little paragraph prophetic word that she had in her heart for me that she gave me last August, and it keeps looking like it's going to come true, even though it's way beyond anything I would want or ask of myself. I'm just going, oh, crud. We are going down this road, aren't we, God? And yeah, we are. And so that's my heart. I hope it helps people not say things people have never heard. I hope it underscores things the Holy Spirit has already put in their heart that they were afraid to believe.
Well, I mean, as of being somebody who's been on the receiving end of that, I would strongly agree with it. And I can affirm that because, I mean, that's how we even met, because I read the Jake book as well. And it was highlighting and putting language around things that I've been sensing for over 5 years working in ministry and in college but didn't know what to do with, because it was so anti-cultural to what I had been raised in, what I was studying in, what I was pursuing career-wise. Like, it was so disruptive to it, and yet it was a perfect alignment with what I felt like God had been saying to my heart.
Yeah, and when you and I get back to some of that brain science someday that you and I have been talking about off audio, but sometime we'll record it, I think it really gets into that space of, gosh, there's things that the religious culture of Christianity encourages that isn't in that space of what the Holy Spirit desires. Yeah. So we actually learn as we get to be better Christians in terms of our religion, we actually get to be worse followers of Jesus as we're better followers of the religious sensibilities and expectations that we have mapped out for ourselves. And they're not all bad. They're not all bad, but they are a different trajectory. And I think that's when I read the Gospels, I get Jesus doing that to the religious element of his day. He's always kind of offering a different thought, they're not like 40-page papers. They're sometimes just a phrase or two, and then people around them go, oh, good night, can we do that? Can we go that way? Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Oh, my gosh, what is he talking about? We can't do that. And
especially in the pagan, being surrounded by pagan cultures that were doing human sacrifice.
Yeah, and they get guys who desired to be first among them all, and Jesus had to address that. It's not about being first. It's about being last. There's so much where Jesus was moving against the culture of his day. And I still think the invitation into the life of Christ it doesn't fit the world's game, and it doesn't fit the religion's game. It doesn't fit either one of them. Both are ways to run from God. And when people finally get hungry enough to push away from the religious moorings they've taken comfort in, to go, man, I want to go on a different journey. I really want to know this God and live in his love. And yes, some of the things that I'm going to find freedom from are going to make my religious friends uncomfortable, but freedom is worth it. It's not that I enjoy making my friends uncomfortable. I don't. But the freedom that comes in Christ, and I don't mean the freedom for self-indulgence. I mean the freedom to actually sense how the kingdom is coming into the world and be a part of it. Just a glimpse of, ooh, what it might mean for me today and how I live in that space. And that's what I want to encourage in people. That's been the best stuff people have encouraged in me. And I was talking to, I called a number of people around Christmas Day. I do because I just have time to get on the phone and talk to people I haven't talked to in a long time. And got a hold of one friend, the guy who helped me write the Jake book, as a matter of fact, and he just said, oh man, he's just been complimentary about some of the things that we've been sharing and what he sees in my life. And I just told him none of it would be true without you. And he said, what? I said, you were the guy, man. When all that church stuff was falling apart in my life, you were there saying the things that helped me lean into space that I wouldn't have leaned in if you hadn't been a voice there. I would have defended myself. I would have fought my way back in. I would have done those things that's more Wayne-ish than what the Spirit was inviting me to. And when he would say them, it wasn't, oh, I'm following Dave. He would say something and it's like, oh, see, I heard that somewhere. I know that's true, but I don't know how I know it's true. I just know that's true. And yet I don't want it to be true because I would really prefer to do what Wayne wants to do. And now 25 years of being in that journey and learning it better, but still learning it, I just know this is the best portion. This is the abundant life. This is what Scripture has always encouraged us to, but when we embedded it in religious performance, we could still use the words and miss the reality. And I think that's what the Pharisees did too. Just says, you know, your doctrines are but rules taught by men. And it's not that they aren't untrue. It's not that you didn't get them from the law and from various places that were God-given, but you've interpreted them in a way that fills up human need instead of invites people into a different way to journey with God. And that's been the greatest joy of my life. If I spend my life out helping people sort that out for their own journey, that to me is the joy of it. It's not for Wayne to become the guru guy that can tell people how to live their life. It's hopefully the things I share. And I think this book may just be that, and it's such a serendipitous joy. You say a year ago, I'm not even thinking about it. I mean, I had this idea just basically to keep Jessica busy 10 years ago. Just, this will take you a while. Well, it took her about 2 weeks, but no, maybe it took her longer than that, but at least it gave her something to do. And then to come back to it at this season of my life and be able to look back over the long span of it and what God has, even when I'm changing wording, I'm seeing the imprint of why would I say it that way 15 years ago? And why am I saying it differently now? And what has God encouraged in my life and drawn me into and given me great hope and joy in that I would want to say that differently and say it more generously? So this, to me, I'm thrilled. I can't wait to have it in people's hands. I can't wait for people to get a look at it and to know I'm going to have it in my grubby little hands. And I dedicated it to my three grandchildren, so I'm going to get to give each of them a copy, and hopefully it's simple enough that they will sit on their desk and pick it up and maybe encourage their journey. So I think it is a family. I think families could read it together. Men's group, women's groups could read it together and talk about some of the, because I think some of the thoughts, all of the thoughts, I do them in like 180, 220 words. But my goodness, I could have a day's conversation on any of those thoughts with people.
Absolutely.
So much to mine in those things.
Oh, I would completely agree. And we're excited. We're prepping our garage at the moment to get ready for the pallets that are coming.
Sarah is so glad we're not shipping. This is the language of healing you guys did too. But all the time for Sarah and I, new books coming was a bittersweet experience. Excited to get them. But now we've got, 800 pre-orders or something that we've got to box and ship out as quick as possible. And that's just crazy. Hope you guys have a great time. Hope you got some high school kids you can offer minimum wage to help you out. Yeah.
We've got some people in mind.
I know Brad and his kids, man, they were taking the ping pong table about 9 o'clock at night and converting it to a shipping lab. And he and his kids and friends in the neighborhood, they were all shipping out Shack books, man, every night till sometimes 2, 3, 4 in the morning. So
jeez,
it's crazy. I hope you guys don't have to do that, but
I would be willing to shoulder that burden if it goes there.
Man, I can't stay awake past 9:30, and I couldn't when I was in college. So, but yeah, well, thanks for asking about the book, Kyle. My gosh, I'm really excited. People can order it now. We're actually going to ship out copies, so it's not just pre-orders. And
yep,
I'm very excited to get onto the stuff that Stefan kind of provoked in the audience, because there's just been a whole lot of interactions I've had with people about it. So maybe we'll get to see that next week.
Awesome.
Thank you for traveling with us today on The God Journey. You can join this conversation by visiting thegodjourney.com.